Good morning.
Good morning.
Get wired up here. First thing I want to say is to the visitors, I'm not the preacher. You'll soon find that out if you hadn't just figured it out already. I'm here filling in for Kent, who is in Nicaragua, helping out the churches down there for a week. And he asked me last couple weeks ago if I would fill in for him. Well, I don't profess to be able to fill in for Kent, but I want to take his space up here this morning. I want to deliver a lesson. And Rick said they flew us in. I think I went 3/4 of a mile from here. That's got a lot of jet lag over that flight. But we're going to do our lesson today, and I'm going to try something a little different. We're going to have a little fun with our lesson. Back in the 60s and 70s, and I know some of y'all in the audience don't appreciate those years, but some of us do, because that's when we did a lot of our growing up. On TV, there was a lot of game shows, and there was one in particular called Let's Make a Deal. I think it's still on the air now, but unfortunately, I have to work during the day, so I don't get to watch daytime TV. But back when I had knowledge of it, the MC was Monty Hall. He would have his audience dress as crazy as they could in costumes to try to get his attention to win a opportunity to make a deal with Monty. He would begin by offering them doors or boxes or whatever. They would choose whichever one they want. Some received a good gift. Some got a zinger. And as the show goes on, then he would offer them yet a second deal. Those that maybe got a decent prize would have opportunity to win another box and maybe increase the value of that prize or lose the value of that prize. So this morning, I want everybody to put on their most imaginary cap, and I want you to believe that I'm the Monty Hall of the congregation this morning. And I'm going to make a couple of deals with y'all. You're going to have some fun with it, but don't take it too serious, because you'll soon realize that I cannot make the deals that I'm fixing to offer to you. But the first deal I want to offer to you is everybody out there that has a vehicle in the parking lot, and being that we're fantasizing, Kelly, I give you my 13-year-old truck so you can participate in this. I got the keys in my pocket, though. But I'm going to give everyone that has a vehicle parked in the parking lot today $100,000 for your vehicle. Anybody turn that down? That's what I thought. Everybody take that deal in a heartbeat, right? Except maybe one person. But I checked with him this morning, and he didn't drive it. And he's got a beautiful 55 Chevy. It's been restored to immaculate condition. And my guess is Andy would think hard before he would take that deal for that 55 Chevy. But I think all of us would accept that deal without question. So at this time in the show, I would be passing out $100,000 in $100 wrappers to each of y'all for your car keys. But before you spend that money, I've got another deal to offer you. For that same vehicle, I want to offer you $1 million. Now, it really perks your interest, right? Okay. I'll give each of you $1 million for that vehicle, but we always like that, don't we? But it comes with some caveats. The first one is that you have to give me back that $100,000 I just gave you. Now, hopefully y'all out there are a little quicker than me and you can do the math real quick, but $100,000 compared to $1 million, I think I could swap that. The second caveat is you're going to have to wait a week to get the money, the $1 million. But I promise you, you're going to get it in a week. Third thing is, you got to leave your car parked here for that week. Okay, you can't drive off in it. It's got to stay right here. And the fourth thing is, you have to be back here, back to this building in a week, on time to collect your money. Anybody turn that deal down? I wouldn't think so. Yeah, there's some things that we have to do to take that deal, but it's still a sweet deal. And you're right, I can't make that offer to you, so don't go spending your money. I would suspect everybody would take that without hesitation. We would all figure out how to get home, even if we had to walk. And if we have to do that, I suggest after services, jump in behind Kelly and Sherry, and they'll show you the way. They do it every Sunday. It won't kill you. And I suspect that during the week, you would figure out how to occupy your time without the use of a vehicle. Most of you would probably, Monday, would be calling your employer saying, I'm not coming back. I just received $1 million. And then you'd sit around and watch the game shows on TV and eat chips and ice cream because you're not worried about anything. And then fourthly, I suspect without hesitation that everyone that took that deal would be back here next Sunday no matter what and be on time. Because what's waiting at the end of that? $1 million. Now, who wouldn't want that? I would. Now, let's analyze what we've just talked about. Obviously, the first offer sounded real good, and it really perked your interest. I saw some smiles and saw a hand go up, and I'll take that. Give me the money. Until I made the second offer, and the first one now pales in comparison to the second one, because $100,000 is a lot more than, $1 million is a lot more than $100,000. I think it's 10 times more. So you get 10 of those hundreds for that one, okay? You would even go through the wait period. That wouldn't deter you from taking that larger prize. You'd figure out how to withstand that. You'd be an inconvenience without your car. But by accepting the second offer, you turn down the first offer, and we're going to do a comparison of the two. The first offer offered immediate gain. I'd hand you the $100,000, you hand me the car keys, we're done. You go buy you another car, and then you got some cash left. Immediate gain. You didn't have to wait. The first offer didn't require any effort or sacrifice on your part other than getting up and walking up here and handing me the keys. Unlike the second offer, you have to do something. Now, that was fun. And it was fantasy. Because there's no way in the world I could give one of you $100,000 for any car, much less all of you. But it's fun to fantasize once in a while. But now let's talk of reality. We're still going to play the same game. Let's make a deal. But Monty Hall's not the MC. Satan and God are the MCs. The first offer that's going to be made is by Satan. He's going to offer immediate pleasures and rewards. He's going to offer us that $100,000 deal, if you will, in real life, with immediate pleasures and rewards with regards to the lust of the flesh. immorality. We see where the moral compass is in our society today. There isn't one. There's nothing that isn't fun, or there isn't anything out there that we should be ashamed of, so society says. We know that's not the truth, but sometimes we get caught up in that because we're not studying enough, we're not teaching enough to our children, we're watching too much of that stuff that influences us to think other ways. Also, in regards to the lust of the eyes, materialism. We started this conversation out with materialism. $100,000, vehicles. $1 million, vehicles. We were excited about getting that money, or the prospects of getting that money. Some of us feel that we have to have the biggest house. And in order to do that, we have to work endlessly. And what does that do? That causes us not to be able to devote the time that we need to our Lord. And also, it affects us in regards to the pride of life, our self-glorification. As Chris Emerson coined it, the me bubble. It's all about me. I'm going to build this dynasty that's larger and bigger and better than anything else. I'm going to have the biggest and best vehicle in the town. We put our material pleasures before God. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He's offering those things to us without effort, without thought. It's easy. And we've all heard that sin is pleasure. And it is. But we're going to see that there's better pleasure than that. Satan doesn't require much of us. And he's happy when we follow. And he hopes that we live by the following mantra. If it feels good, do it. If it looks good, take it. If it sounds good, go for it. And that's pretty simple. I think we can all follow that. And unfortunately, some of us do. The Bible refers to this deal as the passing pleasures of sin. Let's turn to Hebrews 11 and 25. That's page 82 in the Pew Bible. Pew Bible. We're going to read the 25th verse of that. And 25th verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Here he's talking about Moses, and we're going to turn back to that here in a minute. It's going to become a pretty critical part of my lesson. But here we're talking about choosing the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. But that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy those immediate pleasures. He wants to bring us in and show that he can give us a good time. The second deal is made by God. God, he will give us future pleasures and rewards. He'll give us eternal bliss, perfect happiness. And you can't find that on this earth. His will be far exceeding pleasures and rewards than what we get in life. And let's understand, we have a lot to be thankful for. We just sang the song, Count Your Many Blessings. We have a lot to be thankful for in this life. And that's because of God. You don't have to go out and do the things that Satan wants you to do for the immediate pleasures. There's things that you do without fault. I mean, all of us sitting here have probably more to be thankful for than we can appreciate. I just took a trip a few weeks ago to another country, and I call it my Appreciate America tour. Because, boy, I tell you, I wouldn't trade places with any that I saw. Now, I know there were people over there that were much better off financially than me. But we have an awful lot in this country to be thankful for. We as individuals have a lot to be thankful for. We have our families, our friends. We have this congregation. We have houses. We have places to work. We have our health. God's offer requires effort on our part. We're not just able to sit back and do what God wants us to. We have to make an effort, such as faithful service. We need to show that we have faithful service to Him, such as resisting temptation. I suspect we've all had temptation come our way recently, of some degree. And you have to resist that. We can withstand anything if we count on God to lead us. No matter how hard the temptation is, we can withstand that. If we put God first. And such is enduring persecution. Yes, there's going to be persecution. God spoke about it in 1 Peter 14 and 6, page 1394 in your pew Bible. He knew that we would be subjected to this. And he says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner." Who are you going to be persecuted by? Some of you will be persecuted by your family, your friends, your co-workers. There's times that I go off on business trips and I'm not part of the drinking crowd and comments are made. It doesn't hurt me. But that's what happens when you try to be good and you follow God's rule. But he talked about it. He knew this was going to happen. So don't be dismayed because of persecution. Use that as a badge of honor. The Bible refers to God's deal as the eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord in Romans 6:23, page 1299. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. But the gift that he's offering to us is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I suspect we're all sitting here thinking, well, that's the track that we're on. Jesus is making that offer to us, and that's what we want. But why don't most people do that? Why do most people take the easy course? And you know who I'm talking about. You've got family. You've got friends. You're around people all the time that just don't see this. Well, probably for the same reason that some of those people would have taken that $100,000 and kept it in their pocket even after you offered the $1 million to them, because they didn't want to wait. They didn't want to have to do something. They wanted that immediate pleasure and that immediate gain. Pretty short-sighted. They failed to appreciate the difference in the value from $100,000 to $1 million. And this failure to appreciate is especially true in real life. If we look at the difference between the two offers made between Satan and God, the promises that Satan offered last only a lifetime, if that. If that. There comes a point in time in our lives when things that used to look fun or happy or thrillful to us no longer do. The failure to appreciate the difference is especially true in the promises of God last in eternity. So those things that we're doing because Satan is enticing us to do are going to last for a short period of time. I'm reminded of the times when I used to be on that other side, and a bunch of us would go out and drink those spirits that we shouldn't be drinking and think we're having fun until we wake up the next morning and realize it really wasn't as much fun as we thought, or we've gotten into trouble or caused damage or hurt somebody. God's happiness will last a lifetime. In 1 Timothy 4:8, we read, "For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." So we can do all we want to on this body and in this world to make things bigger and better, but they're going to fade away in time. And there's not much I can do to this body to beef it up anymore. It just keeps getting bigger. And I don't know how to stop it. And there are many people that we know that literally have sold their souls to the devil, because they live this life, and they encourage us to live that life. And let's turn back to Hebrews 11:24-25, as I told you we would revisit that. And Moses understood all of this, and he gave a perfect example for us to follow. Hebrews 11:24-26. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses, when he became of age," "choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." So here we have Moses, who had the opportunity to be named as the Pharaoh's daughter's son, which would have given him a seat at the table, if you will. He would have probably had much wealth, anything that he wanted, but he chose rather to be associated with his brethren that followed Christ. What a tribute to a man, and what an example he has set for all of us. His choice was to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. And that's what they are. And esteeming to the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures that he could have had in Egypt. I would hope we would all turn the other way if that came to us. His reason for this choice is he looked to the reward. We saw that in the last verse, in verse 26. And then he evaluated the deals and made the right choice. And that's something that we have to do. We have to be aware of what's being offered to us. Just because a good friend of ours says it's okay doesn't make it okay. Just because another brethren says it's okay doesn't make it okay. We need to evaluate. So what deal have you made? Are you accepting the deal made by Satan, who offers the path of least resistance? The immediate pleasures of this life? You are if you refuse to obey the gospel. You're letting Satan direct your path. You may even, as a Christian, and I fear there might be many, who would have gladly accepted the second offer of $1 million, no matter how hard it would have been to get home and get back, and they wouldn't have let anything keep them from getting back here a week from now, and we probably all fit that category. Yet there are those that don't consider the promise of eternal life worth the same effort. We're promised through the Word eternal life. But we're told what we have to do to receive that. And many people won't walk that extra step. I don't remember him personally, but I know Bruce and Sharon do. There was an elderly gentleman that used to walk to church back when it was down on Fort Dade. I mean, several miles, I do believe. But he was going to be at church services regardless. Regardless. And you know Satan was trying to keep him home because he keeps us home. They don't make the effort to be at services regularly. In Hebrews 10:25, and we read, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I know there's some that say, well, some is assembly and some isn't. Well, I don't even need to have that discussion. We need to want to be together. We need not forsake assembling together whenever we have opportunity, because that's what's going to keep us strong. It's kind of like yesterday, opening ceremonies at the ballpark. Little Dawson has is on a T-ball team, first year for that. And if it had been the only one that showed up, it would have been a long day for us. Not that he couldn't have handled it, because he's my grandson. But he had the support of other teammates. And without that support, they don't have a game. Without your support, we don't have a game. We need to encourage each other. We need to unify with one another. We need to want to assemble whenever we assemble, for whatever reason. They also allow many things to hinder their service to God and their brethren. These people who eventually place a higher value on the $1 million than on the gift of eternal life sell their souls for much less. Sell their souls for the idols of money, materialism, or just plain being lazy. They have accepted the offer of Satan over God's offer. And you know what the beauty of that is, or this is? Is Jesus has given them or us a way out. We talked last Monday in Luke about the death of Jesus on the cross and how humanized we can make that, because he was a human being, died on the cross and suffered like none of us will ever suffer. None of us will ever come close to that suffering. And he died so that we have that opportunity for forgiveness of sins, the things that these people or some people sell their souls over. They can turn that around. We can turn it around. If we're outside of Christ, we have an opportunity to get back in. And he died and bled for us so that we have that opportunity. My purpose for this lesson wasn't to bestow feelings of guilt on anyone other than myself, maybe. But understand that each day we are making choices. And God allows us to make those choices. Maybe he shouldn't. Maybe he should get in my head and make me make the right choices. But he allows me the free will to choose. And in those choices, we're either choosing to serve God or Satan. And that's my choice. You don't make those choices for me. You might influence me, I might influence you, but I make those choices. I have to stand for those choices. I hope this lesson illustrates the folly of letting immediate and temporary gratification keep us from the much greater and future rewards. And it will. Those things that we enjoy today that are gone tomorrow can keep us from an eternity of bliss. So is that the sacrifice that you want to make? The thrill of today over an eternity of happiness and bliss. So let's make a deal. And let's use Moses' example. To esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of this world. To choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin and selfishness. It's going to take some work on our part, but we can do it. To keep looking to the reward that God has prepared for his children. Let's follow Moses' example. In Hebrews, let's look towards the reward that he died for, that he suffered for. And he did it for all mankind. If you have swayed away, you can come back. If you've never named the name of Christ as your Savior, you can do that yet today. And that's the goal we all need to set. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. If there's anyone that needs to come forward to name the name of Christ as their Savior, or that has strayed and would like the prayers of the congregation, we know the power of prayer in this congregation. And it helps. If anybody has any need, come while we sing.